Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith Everett here, broadcasting live from DeVille Square in sunny Pensacola, Florida. And I have in my studios today a couple fantastic people. We've been having some wonderful conversations, except I'm just going to have to tell you right now, one of them is an Alabama fan, and I'm not sure if that's going to fly.
Roll
Tide. Go Noles. So anyway, I've got Mr. Merv Griffin. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
How are
you? Pleasure to be here. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Good.
Until we had Alabama in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to razz you the whole show, Craig. I'm sorry.
We can take it. At least right now we can.
Yeah, right? And then Sandra McGuire and Craig Jernigan, both from American Heritage Financial. So welcome. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. So Merv, tell me what brings you back to my house.
I got an email from you.
Yeah. And you invited me twice.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Freshcoat?
Well, we're the business is it's that time of year where business actually increases quite a bit. The holidays and the for some reason cold weather, people don't think they can paint, but we are a painting company, Freshcoat Painters of Pensacola. I'm part owner of that painting company. We're a national franchise, but we're local and veteran owned here.
Yeah,
in Pensacola. What else would you like to know? There's a lot of things.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that you can't paint in the winter. I just think that the painters don't want to paint in the winter.
Yeah. Well, it's hard.
It's cold.
It is cold, but it's the phone calls really go down dramatically. So the phones are ringing now. We're definitely ramping back up.
For both commercial and residential?
Yeah. We primarily do residential painting, but yeah, we definitely do take on some commercial projects as well. We like to say we're a professional, high-quality painting company, which that's really targeting homeowners who want a really good job at a reasonable price. So
why do I want somebody to paint my house? I mean, I know why I want somebody to paint instead of me. But
well, if you're like me, it's the lack of time to do it.
Yeah. I don't like the blue tape. It drives me nuts.
Well, that's funny you said that. Our painters, we go through a lot of tape, but that's only when we're having to put plastic up. A lot of people think the tape is for the lines.
Yeah,
our guys can cut that straight line, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. Huh?
Yeah, they're professional painters. They're all employees. They're not subcontractors. And why is that important? Well, if you're a homeowner and you hire Freshcoat, you're going to get a Freshcoat employee instead of I don't know, Johnson's Painting Company that we subcontracted out.
Yeah. So it's one phone call instead of 10.
Well, if we subcontracted, it would still be that one phone call. But the difference is, Keith, is that we are licensed and we're insured. All of our guys are bonded. And when it comes to insurance, it's extremely difficult to keep tabs on all your subcontractors, because I can hire a subcontractor. He can give me all the proper paperwork, his insurance, and then he can let that insurance lapse. And now insurance companies actually do not have to let the contractors know nowadays. That, hey, this company's insurance has lapsed.
And we saw a lot of that in Hurricane Ivan.
I heard about that.
Everybody was set up, and then all of a sudden they weren't set up, and once they left town and the work was done.
Unfortunately, that we get a lot of calls, and homeowners are extremely reluctant to hire contracts because they had that experience.
Yeah.
But I reassure them that we're a national franchise, so even if Freshcoat Pensacola is not here, there's a national chain that you can call. But we're going to be here. We're here.
And you're not a contractor, so they got nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah. Well, we're considered a painting contractor, but we don't hire subs.
Right.
Another reason that's important that our guys are employees is that we cover their workers' comp. Subcontractors, painting subcontractors, if I was to hire them, yeah, the owners can be workers' comp exempt, but are they actually paying into the people they're paying? And it's hard to track all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And it's funny, is we about two or three times a year, we'll get the workers' comp people calling us up at our job site because somebody either saw us there or wanted to verify that our guys are covered. And for good reason, because there are a lot of contractors out there who aren't covering their guys in workers' comp. And, you know, if something happens in a home, you know, a painter gets hurt, you don't want that liability on the homeowner. And that's why we have insurance and workers' comp on our employees. And that's why we prefer to have employees instead of subs. For another reason, you can't have as much quality control over a subcontractor, because for anyone who's in business, this is the business part of it. you can't tell a subcontractor how to do their job. You can't tell them when to be there, because if you do, now you're falling into a fine line of what the IRS considers an employee or a subcontractor.
Right.
Now this company is responsible for all the work or the workers' comp, the payroll taxes. As soon as I tell, hey, the homeowner's expecting you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, we're on time every time. As soon as I do that and he's a sub, well, the IRS says he's an employee, and now I got just a lot of things.
Now you're hiring lawyers.
So we just decided to, So now we just decided to hire employees so we can have that quality control over every project. You know, that way the customer expects this from FreshCoat, and that's what they're going to get, you know.
Okay, and you said earlier you guys are veteran-owned?
Yes, sir.
And I'm assuming you have lots of veteran employees that work with you, don't you?
We don't have too many employees that are veterans. We have a couple who they're family members and mm-hmm. parents. That's why they're here for whatever reason. It's a military town. They come here and wound up their parents retiring. But yeah, they like that we are veteran owned. Our employees do, and
sure.
so do our customers. So
how did that happen? Because you have a business partner in this with you, don't you?
That's right. Mm-hmm. We both wound up. My business partner and I actually have known each other since 2004 when we were stationed up in Georgia, and call it fate, whatever you want. We both wound up back here in Pensacola as instructors on base, and we both got out the same time and said, "Well, let's open a business." And here we are.
So walk me through the process of signing on with you guys and getting the house painted or the room painted or the company painted.
Okay. Well, the number one way people find us is nowadays it's Google. I mean, you're going online searching for painting contractors or you know, financial advisor, whoever, whatever. We come up pretty much on the first page every time. FreshCoat Painter or FreshCoatPensacola.com. Mm-hmm. Throw that out there. Where people also find us on the Better Business Bureau website. We just became A+ rated.
Good for you, man.
We were A rated before, but there's a time you have to be in business before you can become A+.
And yeah.
We are now A+.
So how many
nominated for the Torch Award too?
Jeez,
the Better Business.
You're
Bureau.
Busy, man. So how many years do you have to be to get the plus rating?
I think it's at least 3.
Oh, that's cool. Good, good.
So, but the better or how they find? Okay, so what's the process? You Google search, pick a contractor. Most of our clients like to get 2 or 3 quotes. We come in, we're on time, we're professional looking. You know, we don't come in. You know, smelling like alcohol and cigarettes, and you know, we're
I was just gonna say, you only got one piece of paint on you today, so either A, you haven't been that busy, or B, you really do dress the part.
Yeah, well, thank you. So we'll come in, give a free quote, and almost every service we offer, we give fixed firm quotes on, so there's no price fluctuations.
Sure,
there's only a couple services that we just can't see what's underneath, but once the customer gets the quote, you know. We give them time to look at it, look it over. It's very professional. It comes through in an email. It's almost like a presentation.
Sure.
You know, it shows a copy of our insurance on there. It shows, you know, who we're affiliated with in terms of the Better Business Bureau, what websites, what reviews you can find us at. You know,
right.
That's important to a lot of people. So you can find us anywhere on the web, all positive reviews. And then they say, let's do it. And then we get them scheduled.
That's it? You just go paint, huh?
They schedule us, and we go in and complete the job.
But there's more to it when you guys do it professionally than somebody that just, like this guy right here, who ends up falling off ladders too, by the way, when I paint. So don't do that. But there's more to it than just going and grabbing a can of primer and a can of paint.
That's right.
Especially if it's something that's already existing, right?
Yeah. It's funny. There's a saying out there, painting's easy unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, for instance, the walls in here, you don't know, do you put a semi-gloss sheen? Do you put eggshell, satin, flat?
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that, but there's different types of sheen that you would go on different surfaces. The trim has a different sheen than the walls, or the walls have, and both of those have a different sheen than your ceiling, and there's reasons for it. You know, for instance, ceilings, there's always a texture on ceilings. It's the natural flaws in a ceiling. Well, the flatter the paint, the more flaws are hidden.
Sure.
You know,
so that way everybody's got that popcorn stuff.
That's right. Yeah, we actually remove popcorn. So,
yeah,
but when you do remove popcorn, we actually put a different type of texture up 9 times out of 10. You know, orange peel or knockdown texture. We need texturing as well. But
that's the thing with the big gun, right? We're just shooting all that stuff up there, and then you scrape it off after it dries.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the hopper when you spray the texture.
Well, up. Yeah, that's how it works, isn't it?
Well, the pull popcorn off, it's pretty difficult. But once all the prep's done, you got to spray it with water, loosen up all the mud, scrape it off, fix all the flaws.
That's the first thing I want to be doing in my house.
Yeah. It's funny. It's the hardest part of it, almost every project is just the prep alone to make sure you're not getting paint on anything that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So have either of you two painted parts of your own house before?
Yes.
How'd it look? Be honest.
When I took the time to use the blue paint or the blue tape, it looked great.
It looked great. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I made a mistake. I'll own up to it. I decided I would save some money when I built my first house. And they said, yeah, you can save some money. You know, just it's $2,000. You can prime this raw sheetrock and paint it. And I was like, man, that won't take long.
Six years later, right?
Yeah, like 8 coats of primer. I would never. That was a mistake. So I've got.
And then you always forget to use the waterproof stuff in the bathrooms or the kitchen or the breakfast bars or splashboards or whatever. I speak from mistakes. This is where this is coming from. I'm no way a professional, but next house I get, you can paint it, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, let's see if the landlord likes it, because I'm not buying anyone anytime soon. So, what else are you guys working on, though, man? You're all over town doing stuff, so you're not just out there doing fresh coat. I know that.
Well, that's what my primary focus is fresh coat. But when it comes to painting, we like to give back as well. We've done a couple. Matter of fact, we might talk about this the last time. There's a Paint It Forward national campaign. Since... was last year, we've done 2. We painted 2 veterans' home, complete repaint for free. Sherwin Williams pitched in the paint. Our guys pitched in their time and efforts, and they were real successes. But we've got one coming up that we're actually in the beginning stages and talking with a nonprofit, actually. We were talking about nonprofits a few minutes ago, and it's for the children of Milton. There's a lady I met. We and you both were at the mastermind. And she got my card, and I told her to give me a call because we could probably help her. And I was just talking to her earlier this week or late last week. It's a home that provides, it was formed to provide care for homeless or misplaced children in the local area. So I'm actually meeting with her on Thursday. Our corporate office up in Ohio is actually already on board with helping us get the word out.
And it's not just your store either that they do this with, right? I mean, they do this kind of stuff with all of their locations.
Right. This is a nationwide campaign. That's so cool. And the story's great, actually. There was a franchisee in Houston who battled cancer. Him and his young daughter, battled cancer. So they created their own little to give back in their local community, and it was for medical purposes, you know. All the franchises are encouraged to do something that's, you know, what's personal to them.
Yeah.
For us, sure. It's military, you know, but this was a little bit different for military. But anyway, this particular franchisee, he actually lost his battle to cancer, and he actually called it Paint It Forward. He called it Paint It Forward in Houston. Well, the corporate level took it and ran with it nationally. Yeah. So all the franchises across the country are encouraged to give back to their communities some way.
That's awesome.
Right. Given the gift of paint.
So you want to go paint the trestle then? I'll go with you.
The what?
The trestle?
The trestle?
The 17th Avenue Bridge?
Oh, well.
I'm sure you got a whole bunch of miscellaneous paint from leftover events, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, the paint just builds up. Like, man, we thought we'd use it, and it's hard to keep track of.
There's still 30 cans in my house, so.
Yeah.
Do you guys do any artwork stuff, or is it all just straight up, you know?
We've only had one or two since we've been in business, people ask if we do murals and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we haven't had anybody who has, or we haven't had anyone who was capable of doing that. But actually just recently I know a lady who can paint murals, and she's supposed to be getting me some of her, you know, artwork that she's done.
Yeah.
And, I'm not saying we can't do it, because if the opportunity came along, I now have someone I can call and say, hey, can you do this? And
sure.
Obviously, we can go from there.
Well, it's a big thing I've seen over the last couple of years in some of my friends' houses or their parents' houses. They have murals and stuff on the wall. So the art behind you with, mm-hmm. from Rafi with your studios. I don't know if you've met him before, but he's somebody that ends up that does some of that for people.
Okay.
Great pieces of art, but they're stuck on somebody's house wall. So if you move, you got to kind of leave the art there, but really cool stuff. Yeah,
it's popular. I know because when my daughter was born, my wife went, she saw this little, you know, those little stick-on murals that you get from Pottery Barn or something like that.
Yeah, the fathead things.
Well, it's a little different than that, but
she didn't get you a big fat-headed dad for the dog. No, it didn't work that way.
She found one on in one of their magazines, and it was really, really pretty. And it was like a tree and embedded into the corner with the name hanging from the limbs. And but it was really expensive, and she at that point in time she was going to school at UWF, so she went to the art department.
Yeah,
this is before Freshco.
Yeah, went find to the a art starving department. Artist and pay him $20. They're not starving anymore.
We paid her. Paid for the paint and just gave her a little bit because she didn't need the money. She just wanted it for her own collection, you know, and she came and painted the exact mural that was in this magazine. It's funny. We got a mural in my daughter's room right now.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go. All right, man. Well, let's tell everybody website, phone numbers, all that good stuff where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find us at freshcoatpensacola.com. Phone number is 850-418-6011. If you want to find us on Facebook, you can like us at /FreshCoatPensacola, and we are at FreshCoatPCola on Twitter.
Yeah.
At FreshCoatPCola.
I'm still trying to get the hang of that one.
Yeah.
So, and if you are here locally, you'll see Merv at every networking event that is in town.
It's funny.
I know this because I see him there.
It's funny you mentioned that, Keith. Tonight, we also sponsored Wayne Niedecken Jr.'s race car. He's a local race celebrity. So, if anybody watches racing, they know who he is.
Sure.
He actually, his father actually won the very first and the third Snowball Derby held here.
Very cool.
It's they've dubbed Wayne Niedecken Jr. Night at the Pensacola Blue Wahoos game tonight. So they're the big sponsors of him, and we're another sponsor that he has. So
is he bringing the car?
He is. From what I understand, he's bringing the car. And so
he
could have saw it in
Stadium?
The parade,
that'd
the Mardi
cool.
Gras parade. I don't know about that. I think the groundskeeper might have something to do with that.
Well, there's concrete out there, man. It's not a big circle, but they can make it work.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man.
So,
did you go to the last Snowball Derby last year?
I did not get to make it to it.
Have you guys been to the Snowball Derby?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually raced in it once.
Oh, cool.
You have not?
Got whooped.
Never.
We have to get you to a Snowball Derby. You're just not a Pensacolian unless you've been to a
That's
snowball
true.
Derby in a place that never snows. it's really cool. Do you like racing at all?
I do.
I like the wrecks, so that's why I go. But well, cool, man. We'll hang out for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you guys, lay it on me, because you guys have some pretty big, big things that you do.
We do.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
We do. Why don't we let Craig start and talk about the American Heritage financial story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. One of the things that that we did, I've been in the industry for 18 years. And
you're still here.
Man, all my hair's going away. There's definitely some penalties for staying around this long. And you learn a lot of things. And
yeah.
You notice things. You sort of catch the pulse for some things that are happening. And all businesses change, you know, the insurance and financial services industry is no exception. I mean, they really changed a lot. And especially
since yesterday, right?
Especially since the financial crisis, and rightfully so, you know, there needed to be some adjustments made. And, you know, government comes in, they make certain regulations, and sometimes they overshoot. And, you know, sometimes they get it right, but very rarely, mostly they overshoot. And again, I'll say this as a disclaimer, I'm fairly opinionated, and I, you know.
And these do not necessarily represent the opinions of every other financial person out there.
Thank you for that. our compliance department will appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the financial crisis happened, it changed everything.
And, sure.
You know, when they put new regulations out there, you know, those regulations get passed down. So the people who end up, you know, paying is the consumer. And a lot of times it's on price. So, you know, if it's regulations put on a chicken farm, well, when you go to Popeye's, your price of your, you know, four piece goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it's regulations put in the insurance and financial services industry, other things happen that are behind the scenes that aren't so obvious. And it's pretty painful to see. And I was with one company for 15 years, and I was a good soldier. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, and I noticed that it was getting harder and harder to actually help people. And I thought it was just a isolated deal. So I was, as hard as it is to trade jerseys like Peyton Manning, I'm comparing myself. How awesome. But
that's Alabama guys. I tell you what.
We are football.
I know. I hear you.
But, really, when you go to trade in and do something completely different, and then you realize, man, it's like this everywhere. The financial crisis created a low interest rate environment. The Fed has to do the quantitative easing,
sure,
get the interest down. I mean, lowest interest rates in history. The insurance and investment companies are sitting on piles and piles of cash that they can't make any money on. So that's a bit of a problem.
Sure.
Right? And then you got the new regulations and even have to keep higher reserves. So your banking, your investment companies, your insurance companies, they're in a world of hurt. And little's being said about it. When you look at MetLife, sold their entire block of business they've had for 100 plus years, just this year.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Genworth Financial, it's a long-term care company. They're out. I mean, they let go all their field force. They're no longer. They're trying to figure out how they're going to stay profitable in a lot of trouble.
Really. Because of the way the regulations have changed or the capital and risk?
The whole deal. They can't make any money on that in-force block of business. And so now they're having to do rate increases all the time.
Yeah.
And it's causing a death spiral. So every time they increase rates, the people who are healthy, they drop it. Eventually, they outprice people. But the only people who keep it are obviously the people who are sick or are on some sort of assistance from that. They're making claims, basically. That's a big problem. And the way the industry's handling it, again, some people won't like me saying this, but the way they're handling it is they're specializing. They can't be everything to everybody anymore.
Right.
And so when you pull up to McDonald's, you can see the menu. You know what they have and the prices. And you can kind of know that if it's fair or not. But you buy cheeseburgers pretty often, right? You don't buy long-term care. You don't buy, Medicare supplements. You don't buy investment vehicles to know if the investment expenses are reasonable. As often enough to know, am I getting the right price for what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Am I getting the best features? And so what's happened is these companies, they're not able to compete anymore in the wide range of products and services. So they condense down. And you come in the door unknowing, and what do? You end up with being funneled down to their bread and butter products or service, and you have no idea whether that's the very best thing in the entire industry.
So, right.
That's a concern that we have. And the reason why we started this company, because we have truly built a company that has unbiased advisors. We don't work for any of the insurance and investment companies. In fact, we make them work for us. And we work for our clients. So very, very different than really every other company out there. And, if I'm, a rep out there today, my biggest concern is to take care of my clients. But all my training and support is, if I'm partnered up with one company, is coming from one place. So I'm limited in what I know. So I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. I've taken the liberty of, my 18 years in the business to bring in the top talent. And we've spent somebody bringing in some of the top talent. And a lot of these guys understand that what we're building, every single employee in our company is an owner.
Which very is, cool.
It's very different. After 3 years, they have 100% vesting. They own their business. And so my grandmother owned a dry cleaners in a small town. And I would see her when the client would pull up. They would already she would already go to the back, get the clothes, have it on the hanger, ready for them to come in. You don't get that today. And if there was a problem, I mean, she really looked them in the eye and said, "Hey, what can we do to get better?" That's the kind of thing that we have. Another problem in our industry is advisors don't typically make it. I mean, there's a 21% chance of you being in this business after 4 years. I mean, that's insane. So if I'm a client and my advisor doesn't make it because of whatever, who's now taking care of me? Now I'm my own advisor, but I'm still paying all these fees.
Yeah.
We run an 85% retention rate on our employees, which we're pretty proud of. And it really comes down to, we're able to give them what they need, the tools needed. We have 7 certified financial planners and case designers in-house. We have two attorneys on staff. And one of the things that we do is we actually waive our financial planning fees. And we're a holistic planning company. So if you were to come in and meet with Sandra, for example, Sandra's job isn't to try to funnel you down a rabbit hole to buy a product or service. Sandra's job is to get to know you and try to figure out exactly what you're trying to build in your program, what's important to you. And then Sandra, her work begins after the discovery meeting is over, and she goes back and she sits with our certified financial planners, with our case design team, with our attorneys where appropriate. And she actually comes up with a solution, putting a lot of different people's brains to work, not just one. And then she comes back with some potential solutions to the problems that we might find. And again, there's never any work, there's never any administrative charges on our end for the work that we provide. And again, our advice is always free. So we invite people to, you know, ask questions. We want to be that resource.
Are you guys just here in Pensacola?
Good question. I appreciate you asking that, because we're proud that in 2.5 years of being in business that we've already opened up 4 locations. And we have our main office here in Pensacola. I can't think of a prettier place to have a home office.
Amen to that. We can go drive race cars down at Maritime Park here in a
minute.
That's
right. Boat. We can watch the Blue Angels.
Yeah.
There's really a lot of things that we can do. It makes you wonder why we're here working. But
that is a good question. You sure you don't want to buy another commercial from me or something, or we can get out of here early?
Exactly. Let us roll over your 401k. We can go too.
And then you can go paint his house, because apparently it still needs to be painted.
That's right. I'm not good at that. But to answer the question, we do have location in Mobile. We have a pretty strong location in your favorite place, Tallahassee.
Yeah, go
ahead. And Jacksonville.
You don't have one over there in Tuscaloosa? Huh? No?
We do not.
Pity.
Rest assured, we'll have something there.
It's on the map, huh? So do you find yourself, is this a hard thing to explain to people prior to them really knowing who you are? I mean, do people seem to be taking to, because to me, the whole financial industry, all of that stuff scares the whatever out of me.
You know, you're right.
And the most I know is what was offered on the employee benefits package, and it was either low risk, medium risk, or high risk, and that was it. You just decided how much money you wanted to put and how much you were willing to get back, that was it.
Yeah, and it's a confusing, that's one of the reasons why people don't do any personal planning, is they think it's too complicated, right?
Or
it's too expensive. They'll say that while they're holding a Starbucks, you know, $4 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
The fact is, you know, it was said, I don't remember who coined the phrase, but I've heard it many times. And of course, I use it wherever I get a chance. But, you know, they talk about it being expensive, right, to hire a professional. And same is true in painting. I'm guessing wait till you hire an amateur. You
know, yeah.
And see how expensive that is. And what we do is, what we like to do is get a client, and we get them in different phases of life. Some they're, you know, young, they got 2.5 kids, a mortgage and 2 car notes. And they just want to make sure that if something was to happen, that their family continues on in the same standard of living. We certainly take care of that. But you have others that they have all this money that they've accumulated in retirement, and they don't really know how to change up and go from the accumulation phase, how to save. There's a generation out there that really is good at saving, but they don't ever actually
spend. It's not my
generation.
I can tell you that right now.
No, it isn't.
No. We're the ones that want to spend, but we want to spend some on that's going to give us more to spend.
Right.
Quickly.
So I think, you know, you'd ask the question, like, what's the toughest part? I think the toughest part is that we don't have that blimp flying over. We don't have a little mascot that we put on TV. You know, to tell the AHF story, I mean, American Heritage Financial is doing things in the industry that, you know, nobody else is doing. And we're bearing the expense. And the way it's working for us is twofold. Number one, our company, we don't charge fees unless we're actively managing money, obviously. But for all of our planning services, we don't charge anything for that. We're actually paid if we decide that there's a hole or a gap or some tweaking that needs to be taken care of in your plan, and you don't have somebody actively taking care of that. What we do is we become that representative for you, whether we're taking over the program that you already have, because you're paying advisory fees to somebody.
Yeah,
most
sure.
of the time, that person's never checking in with you. We can become that agent of record and take care of you from that point forward. That company then sends us a finder's fee, a renewal to keep you in that.
Yeah.
And so that's really the only way that we make money. The other way is most of the time when we're working with somebody, it's sort of a natural part of the process that you might identify other people that you care about who also would benefit this, through the same type of plan that we're doing for you. So that's our single best way that we got business. And so in 2.5 years, we picked up over 6,000 clients. Over half of them have come from personal introductions. So
that's awesome.
You know, we're stoked about, you know, what we're able to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot when your neighbor can get you somewhere and then deliver.
Sure.
So how many employees do you have right now?
So we have 40. They're employee owners. So okay. they we have one process that
sure.
we basically go through. And, you know, each advisor, so Sandra comes in and she finds that, you know, you're a business owner and you have business owner concerns. So she takes that and she goes to the experts and they design cases around that and almost always involves the attorneys, which, of course, we don't even have to pass that bill on to the business owner, which is huge. I mean, imagine being able to get business attorney advice without having to, you know, pay for it, obviously. You know, we hope to do
you can invest it and make even more.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the thing is that we have divisions in the worksite benefits department. We have an expert that runs that. We have retirement services. So there's really nothing. Individuals, families, is we do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the Medicare market, because people are concerned about, you know, there's really nobody out there addressing the questions of people who are turning 65 today. They don't know what to do. And so they're bombarded. They got all this stuff in the mailbox. They're getting phone calls. You know, that's one of the cornerstones of a financial plan is make sure health insurance is in place.
Sure.
And a lot of times, you know, reps are out there. They got one company they represent. So obviously that company is the best. Everybody thinks their kid's the cutest. And that's just going to be the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
With us is that we provide that unbiased. We have everything in the entire marketplace that's available to a customer is available to our agency. So we can really take that unbiased approach, sit there, review what products and service features and benefits are going to work best.
So here's some of the things that I think popped through my head in the experience that I've had, which has been very limited. Like I said, most of it's been employee benefits or whatever, but you know, when I think of financial planning, I think retirement. That's obviously probably the first and probably the only thing that I think about in those realms. But it sounds to me like you guys have something that, you know, you could walk in there with my daughter who's 13 and say, hey, we could start building some couple things now that will prepare you for college, that'll prepare you for your first house, that would get you down the road for, I mean, you could almost roll up in there with, it's like, I don't know, financial app, like what direction do you want to go kind of thing? And then you guys sure. sort of piece it all together, right? And it's not just hot smoke from one company who, that's what I always felt like. I always felt like all those, that you were only getting what they had and it wasn't necessarily what was going to do you good.
Absolutely, Keith. One of the things that really attracted me to American Heritage Financial when I first had the conversation with Craig about going to work there is that I would be an independent business owner and I would have the ability to meet with clients and just have a toolbox with so many things available for my clients.
Yeah.
Because I worked captive prior to coming to American Heritage Financial, as did every other agent there. So it is very nice to be able to sit down and meet with our clients and talk to them about what their needs are and then go back to the office and take a look at and think about everything that we discussed and then go research all of the insurance companies, 90 of them, all the top rated ones in Florida, and look
yeah.
at all of those
yeah.
and find the best solution that fits their needs, fits their budget, and say, this is the best solution for you, and not just push a product.
Yeah. So do you find a wide age range with your clientele? I mean, do you have parents bringing their kids in there? And, you know, hey, look, you got $200 lawnmower money from last summer, and let's do something with it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get too many 13-year-olds excited. I'm trying to get my 13-year-old.
Oh, you tell mine about getting more money, man. Hey, she's all over it.
You need to save. You know, we have those conversations. Typically, what we find is you need time or money. You know, everybody's heard that, time or money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can start off in the beginning. It's sort of the, you got to have some of the protection elements in place in the event that you don't have the time. If you got 2.5 kids, a mortgage, and two car notes, your income's pretty used up.
That whole half a kid's a mess, I tell you.
And that's what the average person's dealing with. So you got to get those protections in place first. And then as time goes on, you know, you advance up and you get a job in radio and you start making tons of money.
Yeah, you let me know when that happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Find me life plan manual and we'll talk.
A lot of times we'll get people that will call in and they'll have met us or have a question. And they'll get a little bit frustrated because we will not give quotes and we don't give blanket advice. I mean, all of what we do is specialized. And some people are really excited about that because what we try to do is coordinate all of the financial aspects of a person's life or even the life of a business or a business owner who has a succession plan kind of in the back of their mind, but they haven't got it on paper.
And, yeah.
You know, I think any lady can attest to the fact that when they buy these outfits, it's a one size fits all. Actually, one size fits no one.
Right.
So we're real cautious, and we do know that it costs us business, but it's sort of not in our wheelhouse to just write a prescription per se and not really know what other parts is. Otherwise, just like your doctor, if you don't know what all medications or what all other advisors have done for them, you know, your analysis could do more harm than good. And so we would never want to do that. I do encourage folks to you know, come talk to us and bring your current plans. One thing we will never do is undo any of the good work anyone's already done.
Sure.
So we do get people a lot of times, they say, hey, I got a guy for XYZ, but the rest of this stuff is up in the air because he doesn't do it. And it's sort of a head scratcher for me because it's all intertwined. It all works together. So how do you do just the insurance side or just the investment side or just the employee benefit side? I can't tell you how many times I'm walking and talking with business owners and they say, yeah, I got a 401. The guy comes in like once a year, talks to my people about 401ks. And then I got the health insurance guy. No one even knows what that is. And then we got the ancillary products and nobody talks to me. I'm the business owner. They just want to bring some pizza for my employees and they get them all signed up. And then no one knows what's going on. And what happens, these employees, to your point, have to go home and they go, honey, what do you think we should do? I mean, they have to be employee benefit experts.
Yeah.
We can do all of that with one rep. Sandra can walk in today and take care of everything. So we know what the right hand is doing.
So you can interpret all the fine print that I have no clue what it means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can walk into a business that has their health insurance with, you know, one rep, ancillary benefits with another rep, you know, dental and vision with somebody else, and their 401k with a brokerage somewhere else. And I can take the pain of dealing with five or six different agents away and just deal with me. And I can handle all of those because
I'm
know
down
all
with
of
one phone
business.
Call as compared to like six.
And the administrative personnel, imagine them having, because the owner a lot of times insulated from it. They don't realize that they're going through really tough time having to coordinate all these different deductions and whatnot. So you might get a little prolonged, you know, employment out of them if you lighten their workload a little bit.
And yeah.
We do.
Or save them some money or make them some money. I mean,
yeah, definitely. When we work on the employee benefit side, we approach that business the same way that we do the individual retirement side. We don't come in and say, we've got this great employee benefit that you should take a look at. We walk in and say, let's take a look at what you've got.
Right.
We don't come in and recommend changes just for the sake of changing. If something's working for them, we don't change it. We come in and we do a needs analysis. We take a look at what they've got, you know, what the fees are, And if everybody's happy with the plan, if it's working for them, we don't make a change just for the sake of changing it or taking over a business. If it's working, we tell them and they tell us.
Yeah.
Where there can, you know, where we can make improvements, we do.
Well, and I think like you were saying, you don't have any necessarily ties to have to offer any certain product. So you have, you sort of like the plethora of everything. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Free agents kind of. So to me, that means your only concern is truly your client. Amazing how that works. I think that's how this started, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't that how this started?
How refreshing.
I know, right?
Wow.
It is very refreshing. It's very refreshing. You know, after working, you know, in places where you're told we need to push this product this week, or you have to sell, you know, to meet a district quota, or, you know, you have shareholders to answer to. That doesn't make us very happy.
So it's still a privately owned company, even though all the employees are owners. Is that correct?
Correct. It is and always will be a private company.
Very cool.
No intentions of appeasing shareholders and all that nonsense. In fact, you know, from an employee perspective, you can watch the earnings. Jim Cramer, he was talking just a couple of days ago about the way companies are making, you know, higher margins today. Is, I mean, they're just cutting the field force. The bigger the cut into the field force, the more profits perceived to the shareholder, and those stocks go up. Google, meanwhile, reported they increased their field force, and they were punished this week in the earnings, and it's just amazing. And people don't trust
they'll
corporations
bounce back
today. Yeah, they have a big bunch of cash, so they'll be just fine. But it's just amazing the way it's viewed today. I can, if I'm a corporation, I can cut employees,
right?
You know, wreck families. These are loyal. That loyalty is all a one-way street in corporate America. And so we've really capitalized on the fact that there are companies with bean counters up in the tower and making decisions for advisors' careers. And and look, AIG went out of basically business. I mean, their company is still around, but they got rid of all of their salespeople, and those salespeople are also servicing reps. So they not only, you know, have tons and tons of clients that they are, you know, not able to reach anymore. They actually have a non-compete that allows, they could be prosecuted for reaching out and trying to provide service.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I mean, you as a rep are promising that you're going to take care of this person from the young person they are today all the way through retirement. And then one day someone in the ivory tower decides you're expendable.
Yeah.
Away you go. And by the way, we've just changed the story you told all your clients. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Do not contact them. Again, I'm not sure if I mentioned in the beginning, I'm pretty opinionated, but I call that wrong.
Well, this is why Merv and I are both entrepreneurs, is because we don't like people 400 miles away trying to tell us how to run our businesses.
And that's why I'm an entrepreneur now also.
Exactly. Welcome to the club. It's fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Good to have you.
Okay, so at what point in your life did you realize, oh, I'm pretty good at managing money? And then at what point in your life did you say, I could probably do this for other people and make a living out of it?
Yeah, well, I think I realized I could make a living out of it when I met Craig. But I realized that I was passionate about this business. You know, Craig kind of opened my eyes in a couple of ways, but I realized I was passionate about this business because, you know, when I was 19, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. When I was 19, I had a baby, I was single, and I was working 2, sometimes 3 jobs to support my baby and put my way through school.
Well, you've come away a long way in 3 years. Very good.
Thank you. It feels like a long way.
He totally told me to say that.
And at that time, somebody sold me a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Well, 6 months later, I decided that I couldn't afford the premium and I dropped that life insurance policy. Well, today, if I still had that policy, if there had been such a thing as automatic draft back then, if I still had that policy, it would be a very important piece of my retirement plan.
Yeah.
but I no longer have that policy. So, you know, I kick myself occasionally, but, you know, my situation was a lot different then, and every dollar counted, you know,
yeah,
for me and my baby. So life has a funny way of coming full circle. Mm-hmm. So I tell this story now because I use that as an opportunity to tell people about the importance of planning for their futures, because I really wish I had that life insurance policy. And life insurance, it's a lot different now than it was back then. That yeah. was 35 years ago. Well, not quite 35. Well,
she just ruined my compliment, didn't she? Right out the window.
That was a really long time ago.
We're going to edit that back out, please. No, go ahead.
Let me rephrase. That was a really long time yeah. ago, and life insurance has come a long way. So you can use life insurance in a lot of different ways today. You know, I could use that cash value,
sure,
and you know, put it into an annuity. And
I never had any of those classes growing up. Merv, did you ever have any? Like, nobody, home ec never taught you how to balance a checkbook or annuity or any of that kind of language.
No, we never had that growing up in my household either. Matter of fact, my mom was terrible with money.
Yeah, well, and my parents were good with money, but they just, there was never those conversations. So, which is going to lead me to my next question. Does it cost a lot to get started in any of this? So, if I want to go home to my 13-year-old who thinks she's the saver, right? Which is fine. And then the younger, the 10-year-old, is the spender. But if I could get the spender to spend it on the savings, then she's down with it. She's like, okay, that's cool. If I can spend 10 today to get 2,000, I don't know, tomorrow, she's down.
I'm down with that.
I know, right? Call you too? Yeah. So is it easy to get started?
Yes. The younger you are, the easier it is.
The less money you need, right?
The less money you need, the easier underwriting is.
God, I wish I'd known that. Seriously, no, I just never learned it. And I was an economics major.
Well, Keith,
we still didn't talk about that stuff.
I kind of self-educated myself with life insurance, whole term versus, you know, each of them versus each other. And I bought a whole life policy on my daughter when she was 2. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, the best gift I wish I could have ever gotten was a whole life policy yeah. at that age, because mm-hmm. if when she turns 18 and she's on her own, she's spending less than $15 a month on a whole life policy, and it's right. already got a cash value to it. I mean, it's ridiculous with the options to addition, sure. yeah. You know, the riders yeah. and whatnot. But I think it's something everybody needs to be educated in. Obviously,
it's part of it. You know, yeah. it's the cornerstone of a financial plan. You got to make sure that your health insurances are in place. Because one sickness, boom, you're wiped out. But you also have to make sure that, you know, I even think about, and we talk about youngsters, right? That's important. But
especially when they're mine, and I'd like them to go at 18.
That's probably an illusion. I have a 16-year-old.
Oh, it's totally an illusion.
We're building.
I never followed it. So, yeah, I just, you know, it's delusions of grandeur.
We're building a house right now. We're like, well, Tyler, he's only going to be here for like another year and a half. And I'm thinking, wait, mm-hmm. they don't always, you know. 18, like, is an imagination.
But you want your kids to be more successful than you sure. were, obviously, right? That's always the motto.
Every parent's wish for their children. You know, and you can help them and teach them that lesson when they're young by, you know, teaching them fiscal responsibility.
So who taught you? Or was it totally like School of Hard Knocks?
School of Hard Knocks. Yeah.
I'm still going through that school, by the way. Yep. Haven't graduated yet.
One important thing to note, and we see this a lot, and maybe we can reach some people who we otherwise
who haven't graduated like me.
but you know, you take a couple who, you know, they're 62 today and they retire. You know, there's a 92% chance at least one of them will make it to 100. I mean, that's an incredible yeah. length of time. And then you couple that with the low interest rate environment, they spend down their retirement at a rate that's unimaginable.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, it does matter how your distribution strategy is set up. And we spend a lot of time working on the distribution. And that's one of the things that people are trained. If you think about it like a mountain, people are trained their muscles over time to accumulate,
sure,
save,
sure.
save. But at some point, you got to come back down the mountain. And Mount Everest, more people die coming down than they do going up.
Yeah.
Well, the same is true in retirement, is they can spend it down at a faster rate, or they can have a financial disaster that happens and wipes them out, and it starts that death spiral that they can't, that there's nothing they can do. They have to take, and they run out of money.
I think it's bad enough that you have to go to 65 or whatever the new age is, 68. What's the new age? Isn't that the new retirement age?
67.
Gee, might as well be 75, you know what I mean? That's my point. I mean, by the time...
That's so secure.
Because when my grandfather, and he did the railroad for years, and that was the generation that had one company their entire... But, man, and they still got to go do great things, but you're 65.
You know, and it's so important to start young these days. You know, in this environment... Taxes are increasing. The population is aging. Healthcare costs are increasing. You know, if you're in your 30s, your 20s now, imagine what the environment is going to be like by the time you're ready to retire.
Yeah.
It just makes sense to start when you're young, when you can get life insurance, when you're healthy and it's low cost, start saving early. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. Mervin, I want to retire in like 3 weeks. So what do you got?
Well.
That's going to be an aggressive plan. I'm up for it.
She said we could use your money.
Oh.
Well.
It's going to be longer than 3 weeks. My wife has anything to say about it.
Now, you're talking about free services, you know, what y'all offer earlier. And it's almost like you were kind of talking to me there for business owners. A lot of people, now we kind of get, you know, it's a business radio show. So
yeah.
I have a business partner. Do y'all do buy-sell agreements? And the attorney part of it, I was like, that's probably the most.
That's probably one of your largest expenses right there.
Well, if you want a buy-sell agreement, you've got to have it looked at by an attorney.
Right.
In
fact, one of the things that we do is we help business owners. Mm-hmm. A lot of times business owners are so busy building their businesses, right? And they spend an awful lot of their time building their businesses so that they're successful. What they don't spend time doing
theirs
is putting a protection plan in place.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Or one of the other things I would always see too is you'd offer the employees ability to invest, but then the owners weren't doing that same thing.
Right.
Mostly because every last dime was going back into getting the business off the ground.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're not even targeted. I mean, most of the people who come into your... I mean, as a business owner, when we get people come in, they got the sprinkler guy, you got the backflow guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got all these people coming in right and left, and you're just like, your administrative people are just like, let him in. I'm like, what is he doing? I mean,
he's
looking at stuff. Okay, I'm assuming that I have to be compliant, right?
So right.
Let him do what he needs to do, and then we pay him whatever the bill is. It's really crazy. I like the business privilege tax thing that they give you now. I mean, just... Businesses are bombarded, and so we're so busy building our practice that we don't stop and go, wait a minute. For small to medium-sized businesses, most of the time, the business owners are the business. And so if they go down, everything's for naught.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of things we deal with today, I mean, we actually target and speak with business owners about those succession plans. And it's not always about dying. I mean, that's the people, anybody in town, any reputable firm could put you together a buy-sell agreement.
Well, disability even.
To plan if you're going to die. But if they're going to plan on you living and maybe you have an exit strategy, sometimes one partner's, you know, got a different view for his shares than the other partner.
Yeah.
And there might be an age difference or maybe even there's a key person there is very loyal to you and they want to work their way into ownership. Mm-hmm. Who ever heard of that? That's like some 1800s stuff.
Yeah.
Right? But we can actually...
It's really not 1800s. Like, I know a guy.
Yeah,
I know a guy.
Guy.
I know a guy. So one of the other best pieces of business advice I've ever gotten was go into every business with the plan to get out of it, in the sense of selling it or turning it over, because that was the whole goal of going there in the first place, right? Make a whole bunch of money and then chill out.
But so many people don't do that. They don't. They're so busy building their businesses, they don't stop to think about the day that they want to stop working, they want to retire, or that something happens to them.
Yeah.
So if they don't put that plan in place, then their families are one day going to be left with some very difficult decisions.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable because, I can spend my entire working life building this company. And if I hand it over to my kids, I have a, it has a 70% failure rate within 2 years.
Wow.
The reason why is
well, simple. They're kids, man. They don't know how to run a business yet.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's really crazy the fact that
yeah.
there's no succession strategy. I think about it like this. My son, he turned 15. I had it.
So he might as well think he's 25, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I so get it. Totally.
We got his permit. He knew that one day he's going to be driving. So did I. Uh-huh. Right? So I got his brothers are going to be in the car. And,
yeah.
You know, you can equate this to business, really. I had a chauffeur for a full year. So I'm a business owner. If I know the succession plan is in place, right, you're going to be doing some of those responsibilities. So he would say, Dad, it's raining. Why don't you drive? I'm like, Nope. Because, you know, when he turned 16, it's on him. I would rather say, hey, slow down, man. It's raining, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the same grip level. You know, you're there to make those corrective deals before it's too late. And in business, it's just as important. So for 1 year, he's like, Dad, it's like rush hour and all these cars. It's three lanes. I never been on a three-lane interstate. Son, you got this. I'm here to coach you through it. Same thing is true in business. You can't just toss them the keys and hope they, just because they're old enough,
yeah.
doesn't mean they can do it. So when there's a succession plan, there's a sort of a passing of the baton over time. And that's a year, 5 years, 10 years. That person's taking more and more of the responsibility. We sort of coach those owners through that. So there's a succession plan without dying. Most of my clients,
yeah.
they want to retire without having to die. They want to say, okay, at some point I'm going to be able to sell my, you know, shares to this person, and then I'm going to be able to either, you know, have a proportionate amount of ownership, but I'm still going to get a little check. I'll be a minor partner, minority partner, and I'll still get some income.
Yeah.
Or they're going to buy it all from me. Whatever the case is, it's their plan. And, you know, the idea is not to have the default plan. And the default plan is still in place unless you put a different one in.
Sure.
And one you would choose is typically not the default.
Or a plan.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea of reverse engineering either your life or your business, which is not something I could actually have wrapped my head around until just now. But what a great idea to for my daughters, exactly, would be perfect point, and for your child, daughter, right?
Yeah.
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 How, you know, what day do you want to retire? What do you want to do when you're 90? And, you know, how much do you want to kind of make thing? And then go in there and say, oh, well, these are my options to take to get there.
And those are your options today. And when you have, you know, when you're our client, you know, we don't just make the plan today and set it in stone.
Sure.
We visit with you periodically. If you're a business owner, we visit with you once a year and look at that plan and revise it as we need to. An individual, you know, you're with us for life.
Yeah.
You keep changing that plan as your life events change.
It's awesome. I'm hooked. I'm going to get my daughters to start thinking outside the box.
You're exactly right, though.
Have your daughters call me.
You basically begin.
Oh, I got Craig's car, too. Now we're in competition, right?
No,
you can have the young Sandra. One. You can have the old one. How about that?
Call Sandra. But, yeah, you begin with the end in mind. I mean, that's how you do
yeah.
it. I mean, there's some people out there, you know, they've got their brokerage account open right now. They're deciding how aggressive they want to be. I mean, this is a big earnings week. I'll make a prediction, and I don't do that a lot, especially on the radio or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure. Or through the app on my phone, right?
We're not going straight across right now. We're at a point where we're either going to break through, we're going to be in all-time highs, or we're going to turn back down. We're going to drop another 15%. We're not going to do the straight across thing. We've been consolidating for a while. We got some big things out there, and you know, the Fed, they've been driving a lot of the growth that we have so far. And so there's some people who have their whole investment,
all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah. And you know what? We had a client the other day. He came in, he had $3.5 million in one company. And man, that's scary. I mean, that's a lot of money, you know, to have in one stock.
I don't even know what that looks like. You know, it's probably a stack only like this tall, but I still have no idea what that looks like.
You wouldn't believe how common that is for people not to be diversified. Another guy just last week, all in all the financials, well, they tend to trade together.
So, sure.
You know, if JP Morgan goes up, Bank of America, you know, goes up too.
They're
sort of connected. Yeah, there's some independence there, but they're largely going to trade together. You got to diversify some. And if you just want extra advice to say, hey, is this good or bad, right? We're happy to give that advice. I mean, we want
to. I can come in with, you know, I've got what I think is lock, stock, and barrel and ready to go and hand it to you guys and say, hey, just give me a second opinion.
We have people bring a shoebox in.
That's me. Say, that's this guy right here.
Yeah. You know,
it's like, probably more receipts than it is anything else.
But, you know, if you did that and you dropped that box off because you were being audited, I would give you advice that that's probably a bad idea. It's equally a bad idea just to drop that off. What we want to do is we want to get to know you so that we can find out what you're trying to accomplish with your goals and make sure that we put a well-coordinated plan. And actually, when it's all said and done, whatever plan we put in place should have your fingerprints on it. It should be built consistent with your way of thinking.
Yeah.
And the only way we can do that is go through sort of a discovery process where we get to know you. It takes about an hour. Nothing's recommended. We don't do anything. We do all of our homework after we get to know you, your family, your business, your partners, whatever the situation may be. And then we go to work and then we come back and we're able to properly represent you the way you would do it if you had all the licenses and everything. So it's really, really neat to see the process.
Very cool. Where do we find you?
Well,
other than at the vault on Tuesdays for Synergy with the Chamber.
Yes, you can.
Which is where I found Sandra.
And that was a fun day when I got to meet you. Well, you can find me at the office, which is in Cantonment, 3155 Gateway Lane. You can also email me, Sandra McGuire at ahfplanners.com, or you can call my cell phone. It's area code 312-804. 5686.
And I can vouch for her. She only carries one cell phone. So it is her cell phone, not the work phone and then the private phone.
That's
so
right.
She answers that around the clock. So if you wake
you
up
need
at night
milk at 2 a.m. or something,
you're worried about your stock position, she'll pull it up, tell you what's happening in your.
Yeah, you get that a lot too, huh? People worry about this kind of stuff, don't they?
People do worry about their money, rightfully so.
Yeah. All right. Well, did we miss anything?
Well, I would like to put a plug in there also. If there's some advisors out there who are, you know, they're in a position where they're not able to help their you know, clients the way they'd like to, and they might want to take a confidential sneak peek. That's sort of how we've become who we are. We have 18 reps here in Pensacola, our Tallahassee location. We have about 10 in Jacksonville.
How many are in Tuscaloosa?
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
So our Jacksonville location is our newest office. It's less than a year old, and we only have 5 reps there. So we're looking for big things. You know, we're an infant. We're in the infant stages.
Yeah. Where are you heading next?
You know, we don't make too many predictions. We've got.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you're not allowed to do that, right?
it really centers around personnel. If we find people that we believe in can run our model, it is a franchise model. So all these guys are owners of their model. And we don't charge the franchise, but they do have to participate and run the process so that the end result is the same for every customer. We don't want anybody you know, making up the rules as they go. We really focus 100% on the customer experience, making sure that we're there. I will say this, and sometimes people go, oh, my gosh, 2.5-year-old company. I think I'm going to do business with XYZ because they've been around for 100 years. Well, that's fair. I think that's a fair concern.
Sure.
One of the things that's important is that we don't actually underwrite any products or services. So we don't, and we don't keep your money in the vault. I mean, we don't have that.
Yeah.
We actually partner you. We sit on the same side of the table with you, and we partner you with the appropriate 100-plus-year-old company. And the difference is that instead of walking through the door of one, you know, which folder you're walking out with, we have them all. And so we partner you. We do all the paperwork. We do all the servicing. We make sure they're there. And if one day they wake up and they have a bean counter who changes directions, they can't fire us.
Sure.
They can't tell us not to call you. It's quite a bit different.
You're like the Jerry Maguires of American Heritage Financial. That's awesome. Because I would assume that has to be a big key role for a guy like me who absolutely knows nothing about this. So the 100-year-old guy across the table could be telling me it's the next best thing since sliced bread. And you really sort of need that outside opinion. And I can't always call mom or dad, not to say that they would know whether it was sliced bread or not either. But, you know, you got to have that person there that you can sort of ask the dumb questions, in my case, that really aren't dumb, but, you know, just things I wouldn't know.
There are no dumb questions, not when it comes to somebody else managing your money.
Yeah, this is true.
You have every right to ask all those questions.
I feel better. Do you feel better? I feel better. Okay, you guys. So one more time, let's give them the website for you.
It's www.theamericanheritagefinancial.com. We wanted to make sure people knew how to pass the spelling bee if they wanted to find us.
So, it's funny because I know somebody who's a spelling bee second place because of one letter. Oh, that was like 20 years ago too. So, Merv, give them your website one more time too so we can make sure they get in touch with you.
Yeah, it's freshcoatpensacola.com. 850-418-6011.
Very cool. Okay, you guys. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That's absolutely.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
All right, let's go spend some money, right? So, okay, you guys, you can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Thank you guys for coming in. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.